And thank you for making it out on this wonderful Lord's Day. Today marks the beginning of a new ministry at Orangevale, and dare I say, probably in all of Sacramento. Today marks the beginning of a new ministry that is a scent-free ministry. And as everyone can see, we now have a large window in the south wall that's thanks to Bob's hard work, which allows anyone in the family resource room to share in a more personal way the assembly here in the auditorium. And so now, those who have difficulty with whatever scent that someone may be wearing, they can now feel a part of us in a room that's set apart, which is a little complicated when you think it all through, in a scent-free environment. Of course, with that in mind, if anyone has any fragranced hairspray or perfume or cologne or aftershave or anything that's scented, wear it all you want in here, but please refrain from going into that room. That's what the signs on the doors are all about. It will make the effort of creating a room like that beneficial for those with medical issues who need to be in that room. Well, everyone here knows that I'm a former Yankee. I like the Yankees. I like them better than the Mets. I like the colors, I guess. Red and orange. Well, orange and blue always seem to contrast, so it's the whole Yankee thing. You know, I like that a whole lot. Anyway, I grew up in New York and been to a lot of Yankee games, some Met games, but that's besides the point. But as long as I've lived in New York, I never made it to a Broadway play. Kind of disappointed in that. I always wanted to see Cats. I don't know. I never visited the Empire State Building, and I never even visited the Twin Towers, and now that's kind of not an option. I never got around to visiting many of the historic places in New York, but there was one place in the Northeast that I was really interested in checking out, and it wasn't in New York, believe it or not, but it's over in Boston, Massachusetts, and it's a place not where a president slept, or even where some really good invention was created, or even a place that a millionaire built for a community. I've always wanted to go to a place where everybody was said to have known your name. And TV watchers should recognize that phrase easily from the theme song to TV's Cheers. Of course, the real Cheers is actually up and over in Boston, and I guess they have Shirley Temples I could have. But anyway, and I think that it's safe to say that most of us have watched the TV show Cheers at least one time or another sometime in your life, if not accidentally. For 11 seasons from 1982 to 1993, Cheers was one of the highest rated TV shows out there. And then came off all kinds of spin-offs like Frasier in 1993, and Frasier did pretty good too in the ratings. And then there are other examples of top-rated shows that had a similar feel to Cheers. For example, there's Friends. And back when Friends was still being produced, the ratings were excellent. Even when the show aired during the Super Bowl, it was in the top 10 of the Nielsen ratings. And that's pretty impressive. But I started to think, why? Why are shows like that so important to people? Why do they do so well? Is it because of well-inspired writing? Is it because of, well-created characters or maybe really talented actors? And I'm sure all that plays a bit of a part, but I think that there's something more there. I think that shows like Cheers and Friends and even Seinfeld Glee, I hate to say it, and even a show that's actually called Community that's based around a college, all seem to tap into the deep human longing for just that community. They're looking for koinonia, okay? Think about it. All those TV programs, in one way or another, show us people who care about each other, who accept each other in spite of their many failings and frailties and idiosyncrasies. And somehow, all these shows have characters with people who share some kind of strong emotional bond with each other, who give all the appearances of really being committed to each other. I think about those mellow lyrics to Cheers, you know. Break out the piano now. Not in church, though. Okay. Making your way, right? Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. That's good. Yeah. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And I think we all want to be at a place like that, don't we? I know I do. And what about the Friends song? You know, there's that theme, there's the chorus part. It's a bit more rocking, you know, not as mellow as the piano. But, you know, I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. It's nice to have someone like that in our lives. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. Someone who's always there for us. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. That's a good friend. Again, that's what we all want. We want close friends that are there for us. We want people who care about us. People who are glad that we show up, you know. People who will support us and stand by us, not only in the good times, but in the bad times too. Don't we all want to be around people who accept us instead of criticizing and judging us all the time? You know, to be with people who we can just be ourselves with, you know, where you can take off your shoes and throw up your feet, and if there's a hole in your sock, c'est la vie, you know, that's just the way it is, you know, but that's what we want, that's what I know I want, that's what I know we need, that's what I know I need, you know, I think we all need that. Well, here's some good news for everyone this morning. Actually, I've got good news and bad news. Okay, first, the bad news. Helps us to appreciate the good news, I guess. The bad news is that Cheers and Friends and all those other TV versions of Community, get ready for it now, those of you who love your TVs, you ready? They're pretend, okay? They're pretend. They only exist on a Hollywood soundstage. A lot of those people don't even like each other, okay? All right, but, well, people love those shows, and they tune into them every week by the millions, even for the reruns on TV Land. They do that because they so desperately want to be a part of that kind of a community. They see something in those characters and in their relationships with one another that they want, but it's not real. Now, that's the bad news. That's the bad news. But the good news is that it can be real. The good news is that there is a place where that kind of community can and does exist. And that place is, drumroll, sorry, it's the Lord's church. It's right here, or at least it should be, right? Okay, let me put it another way. That's the kind of place that the church can be. It's the kind of place that the church must be. It's the kind of place that Jesus Christ intended for his church to be. Unfortunately, you and I know that all too often it can be the opposite sometimes. You see, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, they sometimes think, well, you know, I'd like to go to some kind of accepting, loving, supportive place where I could be real and just be myself. But sometimes when they think about that, they might think of an AA meeting rather than the Lord's church. And I think that's sad. I think that's sad. But when we look at the Bible, we can see that the Lord's church is supposed to be all about community. It's supposed to be all about koinonia. It's supposed to be about fellowship. Koinonia is to be in fellowship, but koinonia is more than fellowship. It's more than just fellowship. It's to participate, getting down to what the meaning of the word means. It's to participate with someone in something common. You know, that's common, koinonia. You hear the words coming together? It's to share with someone else. And we can talk about koinonia in relation to the Lord's Supper, or in helping those who are less fortunate than us, or in sharing food, or in sharing clothing, or in sharing housing. We hear the word sharing a lot there, don't we? You know, or in sharing our thoughts, or in sharing money, or especially in sharing Christ and his love. And we see this kind of koinonia all throughout the scriptures. In our scripture reading this morning, as a matter of fact, the word fellowship occurs, I think, four times. That's all koinonia. All right. Another place in particular that I thought we'd look at briefly this morning is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, where we find the Holy Spirit-inspired Apostle Paul sharing with us his koinonia with the church at Philippi. Let's go ahead and read Philippians 1, 3 through 8, where Paul writes, I thank my God. Look at the words, I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your koinonia, because of your partnership, because of your fellowship, because our continued sharing and our relationship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you. I just don't know if anyone has ever seen that before. But just, it strikes me as incredible that Paul writes this. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you, how I long for all of you, how he longs for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Just look at what Paul wrote and felt. Feel his emotion here, his passion. Feel his love for the Lord's church. Look at verse 3 again. He thanks God every time he remembers the congregation. We got to do that. We need to do that. And in verses 4 and 5, he prays with joy for them because of their partnership or fellowship or common goal of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to do that. Look and feel. Feel what Paul writes in verses 7 and 8. He says right here, for him to feel this way about them is the right thing to do. He has them in his heart. He loves them. He loves them. And why? Because they have koinonia. He is a part of them, and they are a part of him. We are a part of each other. You know, so much so that Paul says he aches to not be with them. He hurts to not be with them. Look at verse 8 where he says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, if you have a King James version, I know some people do. Ken does, I believe. This verse reads, I'm not used to King James. Rewind. Back up. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of glad they changed that. Okay. The Greek word here is splachnon, you know, which quite literally means bowels or inner parts, and it kind of sounds that way in Greek. But figuratively, it means the center of our emotions. It means our bowels. He hurts inside, you see. It's the center of our passions and our emotions. You see, Paul is so attached to the Lord's church that he longs for the church with the affection of Christ Jesus. And how did Jesus long for the affection of the church? He gave his life for the church. I wonder how many of us miss being with each other to where we long and we ache and we hurt to be with each other. I know many of us do. I know that there are many who long to be with us, which is why we now have a sent-free ministry. And I know that when I talk or visit with people who are sick and couldn't be here, that they want to be here. And if they can't be here, they miss it terribly. And it breaks my heart to know that there are souls like that, that desperately want to be a part of this koinonia, but for one reason or another, they simply can't. But it also breaks my heart to know that there are souls who have to drag themselves into the assembly to spend a few minutes with the Lord's church and then disappear without a trace. You see, they're missing koinonia. They're missing out on the fellowship, on the community, on the partnership, on the common goals that we have in Christ. So what can we do? How can we continue to become increasingly the kind of people who are unified in their love for one another and in their love for Christ? Well, most simply, people need to show their love a little bit more for one another by the way they relate to one another. And not just on Sunday mornings, of course, but on every day of the week, every hour of the day. And that is the primary way, of course, that we can continue to become increasingly the kind of people who are unified in our love for one another and our love in Christ. I remember when I first came up out of the waters of baptism, and the preacher reminded me, it's no lie, it's truth, God's my witness, right? He reminded me that there was an evening service. I'll have to admit that I never even thought of attending services more than once a week, you know, much less more than once in a day, you know. But I fell in love with God's people. I fell in love with the family of God, with Koinonia, and I simply can't imagine not being with the Lord's church whenever we meet. And this falling in love with Koinonia and developing a strong Koinonia is a continual process. Koinonia is a continual process. It's a growing process. We all need to remember that no one here stops growing in Christ. Romans 3:12 reminds us that no one has it all together. We need to continue to grow in Christ, 1 Peter 2:2. And just like any healthy body, 1 Corinthians 12:27, we all need to grow together. We grow together in Christ. Ephesians 4:16 says it this way. It says that the whole body, the Lord's church, fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. Think about that. We all work together. We all work together, and you know, some parts are different. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. Some are eyes, some are this. Everyone has a different function in the body. Not everyone's a preacher, not everyone can give. We all do what we can do for the glory of God, but we do it together. And why? For the building of itself up, for the edification of each other in love. And I'm excited, because I know that our congregation here in Orangevale is that kind of a place. I see things like the Sent Free Ministry begin, and I know that. I know that this is a place where the discouraged and the heartbroken can find strength and healing. I know that this is a place where the confused can find help and guidance. And I know that we are a place where those weighed down with sin can find forgiveness and relief. I can see that here. I can see that here because I'm standing up here. I can see it. I wonder if you find it hard to see, though. I hope not. It shouldn't be hard to see. Not if our lives are continually being radically changed by the love of God flowing through us and into our relationships with one another. And as we grow more and more in the love of Christ for one another, remember, no one ever actually gets there. If you think you're there, you're not there, okay? The world will notice. As we grow more and more in the love of Christ for one another, the world will notice. They will. When people will walk in out from, you know, outside in through the doors, and they will sense that something is different here, you know. And when they go home, they'll say, I want that. I want what they have. They'll want what we have. And eventually, you know, we'll tell them that it isn't a want at all that we have. It's not a philosophy that we have, and it's not a religious dogma, and it's not a program of self-improvement. It's not a what at all. It's a who. It's Jesus Christ living in us and through us to everyone around us. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, Christ says, you must also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. John 13, 34 and 35. You see, Koinonia is about growing in love for one another. It's about growing in love for one another. Think about it. When we love one another, it shows, doesn't it? It shows. Kind of like when a couple has a baby, right? And that's because a baby is supposed to be a product of love. The story goes that there was once two brooms. There was they were going to get married, these two brooms, you know. But just before the ceremony, the bride broom says to the groom broom that I think I'm going to have a whisk broom. Surprise, the groom broom says to the bride broom, how can that be possible? We haven't even swept together. Okay. Of course, some people, knowing that they were going to have a little whisk, would think maybe they had, you know. But that's because our love is supposed to be reflected in our unity, whether we're talking a physical unity or a spiritual unity. Jesus said it this way in his prayer in John 17, 23. Did someone just get that? I heard a snicker. Okay. In John 17, 23, Jesus said it this way in his prayer. He said, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me, love them even as you've loved me. I'll read that one more time, John 17:23. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You see, the most powerful argument for the truth of the gospel is not the sophistication of our theological arguments or the prettiness of some publication we can give somebody. It's not even the historical evidences of the fact of the resurrection. It's not even our good works or even our changed lives. Those things are helpful, but the most powerful argument for the truth of the gospel is our love for one another. And that's because that is what Jesus said would distinguish us. That is what would set us apart from among all other people on the face of the earth as his disciples, if we love one another. And that's because that kind of agape love, like we talked about last week, undergirds everything else that we say and do. And without it, nothing else that we say or do really matters. You see, the purpose of the Lord's church is not to produce impressive buildings or well-reasoned theological statements or well-run organizations. The purpose of the Lord's church is to produce people who love God and who love one another. And if we're that kind of a congregation, then the angels in heaven will rejoice and the world will beat a path to our door. If not, then nothing else really matters. Okay. So I believe we all understand the importance of the issue. So let's get a little bit practical and look at a few verses of the Bible that we might be able to better achieve, koinonia, a better community. A good place to start is over at Ephesians 4, I think. Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3, the Bible tells us to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, the Bible says, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Through the bond of peace. Now I think about that first part in verse 2, to bear with one another. Or maybe another way we could think about it might be to put up with one another. Or maybe to tolerate one another. Maybe to turn a blind eye, I don't know, or a deaf ear to someone else's faults and frailties. To overlook some wrongs, you know. To be patient. To be patient. A little slow to criticize, especially of those who are young in Christ or those who recently were restored, you know. And that's important because sometimes we don't know the whole picture and we might make some wrong conclusions if we don't take the time to gather all the facts and understand what's really going on. You know, we might see somebody say, oh, blah, 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 and you don't know what in the world they've been going through. But that's where koinonia steps in, and we share with them, and we love them. And through tolerance and patience, we're able to help that person. And at the same time, we grow and help, and they help us. For example, trying to figure out what's going on, I remember the story about this older lady who dialed 911 on her mobile phone to report that her car had been broken into, you know. She was rather historical, and she explained the situation to the dispatcher on the phone, saying, well, they've taken everything. You know, they've stolen the stereo. They even took the steering wheel and the brake pedal and the accelerator. It's all gone. The gas pedal's gone. Well, dispatcher said, stay calm. An officer's on the way. Woo! You know, a few minutes later, the officer arrives at the scene. He checks things out, and he radios back to the dispatcher and says, disregard. She got in the back seat by mistake. So, you see, we need to take the time to slow down, assess the situation, maybe take a look at it from a different angle, step back, get out of the car. I'm in the wrong seat, you know. All right. Take the time to slow down, gather those facts, James 1:19-20, right? We need to be slow to speak, and, you know, we need to be able to be slow to listen and not quick to speak, see, right? All right, before we hastily draw our conclusions, we need to step back and check it all out. That can help us to avoid a lot of unnecessary arguing and fighting and division in our homes, at work, and especially at the church, you know. James 5:9 tells us, do not complain or grumble or hold a grudge, brethren. Don't do it against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, he says, the judge is standing right at the door. Don't complain or grumble about it. Everyone's got some problems, you know. Now, thinking about the big picture, what does all that tell us? Well, it tells us that we will, in all likelihood, run into people that we will need to tolerate, you know. all of us will at some time find our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to be somewhat less than ideal. Nobody's perfect. And realistically, the possible grounds for such dissatisfaction with one another are endless. It begins to grow exponentially as we increase in size. The way maybe someone talks, or the way they think, or the way they look, or the way they eat, or raise their kids, or take care of their house, or handle finances, or manage time, we might not agree with all that. So the list goes on and on and on of some ways that we might get into friction with somebody. I suppose we could all probably pick somebody in this building and find something about them that we might not like, So what do we do? Do we just pretend that they aren't that way? Do we just pretend that it doesn't bother us? Well, it doesn't seem like that's the right way to go, really, because to be a Christian is more than about pretending. It's about being real. It's about that koinonia aspect again. So what do we do? Well, in some cases, if whatever is wrong in our humble opinion is not against the Scriptures, then maybe we should just simply choose to forgive it. To be Christ-like, to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Maybe we should just choose to forgive it. Let it go. Seems like an easy path to me. Of course, if the issue is against Scripture, that's another issue. Then speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, is the more important thing. Now notice that. It's to speak the truth in love, you see. That's where we need to teach, correct, and train them in the better ways of righteousness so that they might be adequately equipped for every good work. That's a paraphrase of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And we might want to notice that we are not to teach, correct, train them in the better ways of righteousness to prove that we're right and they're wrong, but we're to do it in order to adequately equip them for every good work. Not to put someone down, but to lift them up, you see. See, we are here to help each other. We're here to care for each other. We are here to love one another, and we're here to help each other to grow spiritually stronger together. That's koinonia. We do this, you see, because God has loved us in sending us Jesus, John 3:16, right? And so we love one another, 1 John 3:16. And we said today that we can achieve better koinonia by growing in our love for one another, and that this is a continual process. Doesn't happen overnight, And this is something that also involves forgiving each other. That can be hard to do sometimes. But Christ forgave us, so we can probably figure it out one of these days, It involves loving each other like Christ loved us, you see. It involves speaking the truth in love to one another. And not to put other people down, but to help each other grow more and more into the loving image of Jesus Christ. Well, share a little story to wrap things up that I think illustrates things well. I once read about a boy who was born with no left hand, And one Sunday morning in Bible class, the teacher there that was teaching Sunday school was trying to illustrate the concept of church to her preschoolers. How do you do church with a preschooler? So in order to illustrate the whole idea of church, she went ahead and she folded her hands together and she said, here's the church, here's the steeple, here are the doors, and look at all the people. You ever do that? It's kind of fun, Here's the church, here are the doors, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people, see? Yay, look at the fingers. Okay. So she showed that to the kids, and she asked to do that along with her, have all the kids do that. Obviously not thinking about the little boy's inability to pull off the exercise. He's got one hand. Yet in the next moment, when it dawned on her what she had done, before she could do anything or say anything to cover for her mistake, the little boy sitting next to him said, "Let's do it together." So the two boys proceeded to join their hands together, and they made the church, and they made the steeple, and they looked at all the people. And that has got to be one of the best examples that I know of that really shows koinonia, that shows true community in the Lord's church. The fact that we can join our hands together, and that's how we make the church. You see, as fellow Christians, as fellow travelers down that long and dusty road, we need to help each other. We need to learn to get along now and not tomorrow, because let me tell you, I plan on making it to heaven. I do. And if someone's been arguing or having problems with their brother or sister in Christ for whatever reason it is, better work it out now. Okay? Because just as sure as you're hoping to get to heaven, you know, they are too. And then what are you going to do? You're going to try to hide behind a cloud or something, you know? Ask Adam and Eve. It doesn't work that way. Ask Cain. You can't hide from God, you know? And I think that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5, 23 through 25. Need to settle it now. Need to settle it now. I suppose that if we were to go ahead and try to summarize everything up this morning with a Bible passage, Colossians 3, 12 through 14 comes to mind, where the Bible says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as it is the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." As we all know, there's no community without unity, right? And when we do like Paul says here in Colossians 3, well, we're doing church, I believe, just like Jesus intended for us to do church. You know, the community of believers, we're together. We can hold hands and be the church together. You know, the idea of community is so important. It's such a powerful thing when it's working properly. That's because, to borrow those lyrics again from Cheers, you know, adapted to the Lord's church. The Lord's church is a place where everyone knows your name. And we're always glad you came, because we all want to be where we all can see that our troubles are all the same. We all want to be where everyone knows our name. And that's the way the Lord's church was meant to be, according to Acts 2, 42 through 47. Let me close with another little quote I got from a book in my library. It's called When God Builds a Church. And then the author writes about the first century church, the church of Acts 2, 42 through 47. And he observes that the church exploded in growth because the people loved being together. When you get a group of people together who genuinely believe something, he writes, and who really enjoy each other, it's a contagious atmosphere that you can't keep people away from it. And he continues, people assume that smaller churches must have better fellowship and stronger relationships because everybody knows everybody. But churches that genuinely love one another don't stay small very long. So we're left with a question, you know. Do we all want to be a part of a community, of a koinonia that desires to be in God's presence? I believe we do. Do we all want to be a part of a community that's dedicated to each other? I believe we do. That's patient with each other? I believe we do. That's loving toward each other? I believe we do. Well, here we are, you know. Every Christian can be a part of such a thing, because that's the way the Lord intended the church to be. Well, this morning, if there's anyone here who's not a part of the Lord's church, then I'd like to encourage you to come forward, confessing Jesus as Lord, and then upon that confession of faith, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the watery grave, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Romans 6, 3, and 4, for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, when you believe and you're baptized, Jesus says in Mark 16, 16, that you're saved, that you're added to the Lord's church, that you become a part of the Christian community, a part of our koinonia. Of course, there may be someone else here that is in need of prayers of our church family, or maybe there's someone else here who has a praise to share. Whatever the reason, if anyone has the need to come forward now, please do that as we all stand together and sing.